Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, March 10, 2024, first class, Romans.
Well, congratulations to all of you. You passed the first test. You moved your clock forward to be here for the first class. There will be those who come every year. They will come for the next class thinking they're coming to the first class. Now don't say anything to them. Don't call them a dumb shit or anything like that. Just show virtue, love, and impersonal love for all. Glad to see that you made it second class. You know. And we have a couple of announcements. First of all, there will be a meeting for all those interested in being a part of Vacation Bible School. We're having Vacation Bible School this summer. And for everyone that would like to be a part of Vacation Bible School, there'll be a meeting in the big classroom after the second class this morning. This has been when I first came here, they had a Vacation Bible School, but it wasn't anybody except the people in our own church, just the kids in the church. I said, well, if that's all it is, I'm canceling it. There'll be no Vacation Bible School. I said, if we're going to have Vacation Bible School, I want to see all of Southern Nevada. Kids from all over Southern Nevada coming here and hearing the grace gospel and an opportunity to believe in Christ as their Savior. And over the years, well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to get to heaven when you throw that rock into the lake, the ripples go out and out out and out and out. Come on in, Francis. Francis is going to lead the congregation in a special song. It was what? Up against the wall, redneck mother? Oh, okay. Very, very wonderful song with Easter coming up. You know. Now I forgot what I was talking about. We have been having vacation Bible school for, well, about 40 years now. And so many kids from all over Southern Nevada have come, heard the gospel, believed in Christ. It's been absolutely fantastic, and we're going to have it again this summer. So those interested in helping in some way in the big classroom after the second class. Also, today is Sherry Castillo's birthday. She's 16. But Rick says she has been kissed. So happy birthday, Sherry. And, you know, one year, it was the day to daylight savings time. We were living in the church. We were living in the church. And we're sleeping on the floor in the lounge in there, and it was the day to spring the clock forward. We didn't. So I got up while people were starting to arrive. And the bathroom is down here, and I am in my skivvies and heading down here, and all of a sudden, suddenly, Good morning, Pastor Olson. I dressed up for the occasion, you know. So I understand. I've been there and done that myself. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have finished Romans chapter 6, which was the great chapter in the Word of God on that mysterion truth, mystery doctrine of the church age, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unique to the church age. Retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. But it's one thing for the believer in Jesus Christ to understand the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, which is identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, which is identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and succession at the right hand of God the Father. But it is something else for the believer to deal with the sin nature that still remains inside of him and its efforts to express itself through temptations with regard to one's thoughts and actions. And this is the internal conflict in the area of sanctification that every church age believer faces. So in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul illustrates by analogy what he taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, and current positional truth. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate this through the battle of the two husbands. The first marriage goes from physical birth to salvation, the moment of faith in Christ. The husband is a sin nature. The wife is the unbeliever. The marriage counselor is the Mosaic law. The second marriage goes from spiritual birth, the new birth, regeneration, that moment of salvation on forever. The husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife is the believer. The marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. In the Mosaic Law, it talks about divorce and legitimate divorce in the Mosaic Mosaic law is death. And therefore, the death of the first husband, the sin nature, is really divorce. And that means the ex-husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive, still residing inside your body. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation. And he does this through temptations that come from the lust patterns of the sin nature. The first husband, the sin nature, is in a state of divorce from the believer, but he is still trying to get back as the authority. This creates a great internal conflict in the life of the believer, and that internal conflict we're going to be studying in Romans chapter 7. There is a parallel passage. Paul writes in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16, and 17 teaches this same principle. But here we are in Romans chapter 7, and in the first part, Romans 7, 1 through 6, the two marriages. Verse 1 begins, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" And of course, the Apostle Paul was a great at sanctified sarcasm. When he says, "Or are you ignorant, brethren?" is saying, yes, you are very, very ignorant. For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law, but in reality, all you've done is distorted it into something it never was intended to do. Paul is writing this to believers who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law. They view themselves as experts of the Mosaic law. But the Apostle Paul says, you are ignorant when it comes to knowing the true purpose of the Mosaic law. You must know the true purpose of the Mosaic law, and you must not distort it. Distort it into a false gospel, which the Judaizers had done. They distorted the Mosaic law into a system of salvation by works. All works, salvation by works systems are false gospels. And they distorted it into systems of legalism and self-righteousness. The Mosaic law was the marriage counselor of our first marriage to the sin nature when we were unbelievers. In Codex number one, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, declares to us, the unbeliever, you have a bad marriage. You have a problem. You're married to the sin nature. You are in spiritual death. You are sinners, and you need a Savior. In Codex number two, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And does this through shadow Christology and soteriology. The Mosaic law came from God. The Mosaic law was perfect and has fulfilled its purpose perfectly. But now it is finished as a marriage counselor for us after our salvation and our faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that when we get to Romans chapter 8. Wahoo! Romans 8:2-4. The Mosaic law was our marriage counselor as an unbeliever. Now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a new marriage counselor, and that is God the Holy Spirit. So verse 1 says, or are you ignorant, brethren, royal family? Yes, you are very ignorant. For I am speaking to those who claim to know and understand the Mosaic law, that the Mosaic law has jurisdiction over mankind as long as he lives. In other words, that period of time that he lives as an unbeliever. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1, the Mosaic law acts as a restrainer. The Mosaic law has jurisdiction or authority with regard to restraint of the sin nature. And therefore, the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor of the unbeliever in his first marriage to the sin nature possesses a certain authority over mankind. The Mosaic law functions as a restrainer of the sin nature through Codex number one, the commandments, and Codex number three, the laws of divine establishment, such as the function of law enforcement and the judicial punishment of criminals from the law. Restraint under the second marriage, our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, comes through God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature." So God, the Holy Spirit, serves as a restrainer, and the Word of God serves as a restrainer that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. And that's Psalm 119, verse 11. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So now we have a restrainer, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God that we've learned and believed and is in our heart. And then verse 2, and we just barely got started in verse 2. "For the married woman," that is the wife under the authority of her husband, "is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth." This is the perfect passive indicative of the verb dao plus the dative singular of namas plus the dative singular of aner plus the articular present an active participle of zao. Theo. D-E-long-o, deo. Now, deo literally means to bind or to tie. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 170, says it is used in our verse for binding by law and duty. Binding by law and duty. The perfect tense is a dramatic perfect. The dramatic perfect describes a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice, the married woman receives the action of being bound to her husband by law and duty, and that is the word of God for the believer. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have namas. We've had this so much, you know it just as much as I do. N-O-M-O-S. Namas. That's the Greek word for law. Now, in the divine institution of marriage, namas refers to the word of God. For the unbeliever, the wife married to her first husband, the sin nature, the law refers to the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. And then we have the dative case, which is by the law. And then the dative of on air. A-N long E R on air and on air. It's a word for the husband, but it's a great word for the husband. All you ladies ought to understand this. Means honorable man. honorable husband. Now, the old sin of nature is everything but honorable. But Jesus Christ is perfect honor, perfect integrity, perfect virtue. So our marriage as a believer to Jesus Christ, he's the greatest honorable husband. Now, for all of you ladies, and I brought these things up with my sons, and at their wedding, and I spoke to everybody who was there. I said, the husband is the on-air, the honorable man, the man of honor and virtue and integrity. And you ladies, you have what a privilege. You have married an honorable man. Now you have, when you have a marriage to that honorable man, now you respond. You put yourself under or hupotasso willingly, freely. He is the honorable man who has been given a mandate. Love your wife with impersonal love. Love your wife as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love your wife when she's at her worst. That is an honorable man. That is a man with virtue, love. And the ladies, you are to submit. Subordinate yourself to the authority of your husband in everything. For he is the honorable man. Now he loves you with impersonal love for all. You love him with impersonal love for all. When you both do that, well, Jesus Christ invented marriage. The divine institution of marriage was invented by Jesus Christ. And he designed it to be absolutely fantastic, wonderful, successful, happiness. That's how he designed it. And when you both have impersonal love for one another, well, you will have a happy and successful marriage. So we have to her husband, and then the verb zao. Z-A-long-O, za-o. And za-o is the verb to live. The participle is important. This is a circumstantial temporal participle, and so it may be translated while he is living, or as long as he is alive, or for as long a time as he lives. We'll translate it while he is living. For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband is bound by law to her husband while he is living. Got that? For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband is bound by law to her husband while he is living. All right. One. The married woman represents the unbeliever. The married woman represents the unbeliever. Two, the husband of the unbeliever is the sin nature. The sin nature is the ruler of human life through spiritual death. When we are born physically, we are born physically alive, but spiritually dead. So the husband of the unbeliever is the sin nature, and the sin nature is the ruler of human life through spiritual death. Three, the rulership of the sin nature begins at physical birth. The rulership of the sin nature begins at physical birth. Four, the unbeliever is married to the first husband, the sin nature from physical birth to salvation, that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. So the unbeliever is married to the first husband, the sin nature from the moment of physical birth to the moment of salvation, that moment when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. 5. The Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, teaches us as unbelievers that we have a bad marriage. The Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, teaches us as unbelievers that we have a bad marriage. Codex number 1, we are sinners. Codex number 2, points to the solution of the bad marriage, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, teaches us as unbelievers, we have a bad marriage. Codex number 1, we're sinners. Codex number 2 points to the solution of the bad marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ. 6. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. And you have all of this from our study of Romans chapter 6. So at the moment of faith in Christ, we are divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. 7. As an unbeliever, the first husband, the sin nature was the absolute authority. See, we come into the world as slaves, in slavery. Slaves to the old sin nature is the ruler of human life. 8. As a believer, the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the absolute authority. As a believer, the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the absolute authority. And that's the best of the best. You can't have a greater authority than that. He is an on-air. He is our husband as the believer. He is our authority. He is infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite integrity. So corrected translation, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband be dead, if the husband be dead, when I was exegeting this, it took me back to Dallas Theological Seminary in my last year. Deb and I were married the last year I was at Dallas. And she got a job as the secretary for some attorneys in Dallas. These were highfalutin attorneys, too. And attorneys, Debbie was not a legal secretary. So they did a lot of teaching her. But they also had attorney humor. And Debbie would come back and tell some of these things. There was a murder case. And the attorney was, and she was working with, was dealing with this murder case. And the woman was on the stand, and the murder victim was out in front of the house. So the attorney says, "Now, I understand that this man, when you went out and looked at him, he was DOA. She goes, "Oh, no, he wasn't DOA. He was DOD. DOD. Dead on the drive." Yeah. He goes, "Oh, I stand corrected. He was DOD. if your husband be dead on a drive, this is the post-positive conjunction data plus the conditional particle aeon plus the nominative singular of on air with the definite article plus the aorist active subjunctive of the verb oppo finesco. The conjunction data is the conjunction of contrast. And it's correctly translated, but death sets up a contrast between, first of all, between the first marriage and the second marriage. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between the unbeliever and the believer. Third, it sets up a contrast between the sin nature as the first husband and the Lord Jesus Christ as the second husband. And fourth, it sets up a contrast between the Mosaic law as a marriage counselor with God the Holy Spirit as the marriage counselor. But, and then we have aeon plus the subjunctive. Aeon plus the subjunctive. E-A-A-N. Aeon. Aeon introduces a third class condition. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you have believed in Jesus Christ. Maybe you have not believed in Jesus Christ. Ha on air, the husband, and then the verb oppo thnesko. A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, oppo thnesko. Now, oppo thnesko literally means to die and refers to physical death. Figuratively, apothenesco is used for retroactive positional truth. Identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, faith in Christ. And figuratively, apothenesco is used for legitimate divorce. Corrected translation, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, then we have she is loosed from the law of her husband. This is the perfect passive indicative of the verb katargao, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of namas, and the definite article, plus the genitive singular on air with the definite article. Katargao is the verb. That's K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O, katargao. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, katargao means to abolish. To abolish, to wipe out, to set aside. Abolish, wipe out, set aside. Two. Then it came to mean to cancel, to abrogate, to render null and void, to cancel, to abrogate, to render null and void. Point three. Printing angry, the Greek lexicon, page 418, tells us that in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be released from an association with someone. Be released from an association with someone. The perfect tense is the dramatic person perfect once again. The dramatic perfect again is used to describe a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice, the wife, the believer receives the action of being released from her first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute truth of the Word of God, the God-breathed Scriptures. And then the preposition apa plus the genitive start writing it in English. Apa plus the genitive. APO, apa. And apa plus the genitive, again, aren't in Gingrich on page 87, tells us that with verbs in the passive voice, which is what we have, that apa plus the genitive is correctly translated by, and then namas again, law, the Mosaic law, and the genitive singular of on air, from her husband, the first husband, the sin nature. So, correct translation. For the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. And that's the first husband in the sin nature through retroactive positional truth. Now, remember, Romans chapter 7 illustrates by analogy what Paul taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul was emphasizing the baptism of the Spirit, which occurs to salvation. Salvation, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and succession at the right hand of the Father. Now, in Romans chapter 7, Paul is illustrating this through the battle of the two husbands. The wife of the first marriage is the unbeliever, the wife of the second marriage is the believer in Jesus Christ. The first husband is the sin nature. The second husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic Law. The marriage counselor of the second marriage is God the Holy Spirit. One. See, we got a whole chapter. I'm getting you read into this. This is a great chapter, Romans chapter 7. It will only be superseded by Romans chapter 8. One. The first wife, the unbeliever, is married to the first husband, the sin nature. And that took place at physical birth. They're all in that status. Of spiritual death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that is righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. Two. The second wife, the believer, is married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. At the new birth, regeneration, faith in Christ. Three. The phrase, but if the husband has died, refers to retroactive positional truth, identification with Jesus Christ and his death and burial. So that phrase, but if the husband has died, refers to retroactive positional truth, identification with Jesus Christ in his death and burial. Four. Death is used in this passage for divorce. Because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive and living in our body. Death is used in this passage for divorce because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very, very much alive, living in our body. Once divorce occurs, retroactive positional truth, the husband and the wife are not alive to each other. Once divorce occurs, retroactive positional truth, the husband and the wife are not alive to each other. Six, they must regard each other as dead. They must regard each other as dead. Seven, the Mosaic law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage who advises the unbeliever of his spiritual death. You have a bad marriage. Codex number one points out that you have a problem. Codex number two presents the solution to the problem. But the Mosaic law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage who advises the believer of a spiritual death. You have a bad marriage. Eight. So that's salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. The believer is divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current position. Truth. Again, eight. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is divorced from the first husband, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. Nine, the baptism of the Spirit retroactive positional truth, identification identification with Christ in his death and burial provides the mechanics for the divorce analogy. The baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, provides the mechanics for the divorce analogy. So verse 2 says, for the married woman, the wife under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, legitimate divorce, retroactive positional truth, she is released by the law from the husband, the first husband, the sin nature. All right. We'll take a break there and give you a little bit of time and come back for part two.